you are gracious and merciful. Lord, you sustain us. Lord, you are the God who came down into this world to save us, to deliver us, to rescue us from ourselves, from sin, to give us hope in this broken world. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for the blessing that we get to be children of God. You've opened that door. Us to be called children of God. Father, I pray this morning that you would use your powerful word. You would work in our hearts this morning, and we would be ready and willing to listen and respond however you desire. Father, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name. Today, as we celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection, we want to remember why Jesus came and what he accomplished on our behalf. And so as we continue our journey, we're going to continue our journey through 1 John. And we've had some exciting times just going through 1 John. So we're going to be in 1 John today. So if you have your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 2. If you don't have one, it should be one there in front of you somewhere. So we're going to look at chapter 2, verse 28, and chapter 3, verse 10. And so as we move through this chapter, we're going to continue to learn more about Christ. We've learned so much this far. We've learned that Jesus is the everlasting God. He created all things. He's the God who came in the flesh to save us, to redeem us. He's our atonement. He is the everlasting God. He's the light of the world. He's the eternal life. He's our advocate. He helps us overcome our flesh. He helps us overcome the world. He helps us overcome the evil. Jesus stands ready to give you abundant life. To pour out into your life all of his spiritual blessings you can't even imagine. Spiritual blessings that enrich and strengthen your life, that make your life whole and complete. And so today we're going to start off here in verse 28, and look, we go through chapter 3, verse 3. But he starts off here, in Christ we have spiritual blessings. So let's start here in verse 28. And now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Now, before we dive into this passage, we need to understand what in Christ means. The Bible uses that term often, and as I've been preaching, in Christ represents a person who has turned from their sin to follow after Jesus. It means that you've acknowledged your sin before God and you've asked his forgiveness. It means that you have believed who Jesus is and what he did for you on the cross and how he rose from the grave. It means that you have made a commitment to follow him, to make him Lord of your life, meaning you've surrendered to his leadership in your life. That's what it means to be in Christ. And that's what it means to be a follower of Christ. And if you think about this, as we go through this passage, if you're in Christ, that means that God has given you full access to all of his spiritual blessings. I want to look at another passage in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Those who have put their faith in Christ, those who have not put their faith in Christ because they fear somehow losing control of their lives, you don't know what you're missing. Those who don't want to surrender to God's leadership in their lives because they think they can somehow orchestrate their lives better than Almighty God, their Creator, you don't know what you're missing. In our own human strength, we have no power to manufacture true peace, real joy, everlasting hope. Without Christ, you're missing out on so many spiritual blessings that make your life fruitful and joyful. Jesus offers us abundant life even while we live here in this tarnished, broken, chaotic world. In this first passage, John reminds us of a few of those spiritual blessings. He continues with the theme of abiding in Christ. That is key to what we learned in the last passage. This abiding in Christ is a command that calls for consistent action. It means that we remain in constant union and communion with Christ. We draw from the source of everything we need as we abide in communion with Christ in this wonderful relationship. Those who abide in Christ share this first spiritual blessing God reminds us there in verse 28, confidence. We have confidence in His promise to us. And when we breathe our last breath in this human earthly body, He will raise us to life. We have confidence, as He says here, when Christ returns to judge the world for sin, we will be saved from harm. We're not worried. He's given us eternal life. Because He's righteous, we are now, because of His righteousness, we're now justified. We no longer are under God's holy wrath. Therefore, in verse 29 and verse 1 of chapter 3, John reminds us that we are children of God. And in Christ, we have this spiritual blessing of certainty. Not just confidence of His return, but certainty. We can be certain of our salvation. God reminds us of God's amazing love there. How amazing it is that in Christ, we can become children of God. The one true, all-powerful, everlasting God who created all things, who sustains all things. Can you wrap your mind around that? Just wrap your mind around that. That's what John was trying to do here. He said, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. Think about that for a moment. The God who spoke and created all things allows us to be His children, adopts us through faith in Christ to be His child. Can you wrap your mind around that? And in Christ, nothing can separate you from God. It's in Romans 8, 37, 39, we are guaranteed by God Himself to Ephesians 1, 13, and 14. God has given us security. He's given us this confidence. He's given us this certainty of our salvation. And then John also reminds us that we have the spiritual blessing of being molded into the likeness of Christ. We're being sanctified by Christ, which means we're continually growing. He's growing us in righteousness. It's not something you can do in your own strength. He says here, because we have been born of God, we will practice righteousness. In Christ, we gain this new lifestyle. It says in verse 3, that those in Christ will seek to purify themselves. Because Christ is holy, we will also grow in holiness. Christ now lives in you through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, and that changes everything. Completely changes everything. In Christ, holiness is now possible where it wasn't before. Our hope for the future enables us to pursue holiness here and now, as it says in verse 3. When Christ comes again, our salvation will be made complete. We know that we're loved by God, but in Christ, we're already children of God, but the fullness of our salvation is not yet complete. There's more to come, much, much more. In our human minds, it's hard for us to wrap our minds or imagine what our future glory in heaven is going to be like. 1 Corinthians 2:9 states this, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, that God has prepared for those who love Him. You can't imagine what it's going to be like to be in His presence in a perfect world, renewed in every way. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13:12, he says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now in every part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Our new glorious bodies will be like that of Christ, as it says there in verse 2, we will be like Him, finally made complete, finally made perfectly righteous, restored to God's perfect design. Don't trade earthly things for spiritual blessings. For spiritual blessings that Christ wants to give you. Don't trade the temporary of this world for the eternal. What the world promises you will never truly satisfy your soul. It will not last. No matter how hard you seek after it, it's never going to satisfy your soul. In Christ, you can have it all. And He's made a way. He's opened a door. And He's given us true freedom from life of sin and death. And this life is found in Christ alone. I want us to look at verses 4 through 10. In Christ, we have freedom from a life of sin and death. Everyone who makes a practice of sin also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sin. And in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous. Righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sin is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident you are the children of God and you are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. And so he starts off here with the world's greatest problem. I mean, there's a lot of problems. And we look around, and we watch the news, and look on social media. There's a lot of problems. This is the greatest sin. John is sharing God's truth with us about sin. Being honest, he says sin is lawlessness. Sin is anything we think or say or do that is against God and disobeys him. Sin is rebellion, a defiant disregard and rejection for God's rule over you as Lord. We are all of us outlaws against God. Sin has destroyed this once perfect world. It's brought about brokenness and death in every single human being. The effects of sin are deadly. God's character, though, is that of perfect holiness, and therefore he must punish sin. He cannot stay true to himself as holy God if he does not punish sin. And death is the penalty for our sin. And your debt of sin must be paid for, and the payment is your life. No number of good deeds. It doesn't matter how well you think you live your life, or how many great things other people have said about you. It doesn't matter how much better you are than someone else. None of these things will be able to pay the debt for your sin. You don't have what it takes within yourself to pay the price for your sin. No matter what the world tells you, you don't have. You can't muster up what you need. You can't earn enough righteousness to pay the debt of your sin. God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. That's the situation. That is the worst problem we deal with in this world. But out of God's extraordinary love for us, as John talks about there in verse 5, he didn't leave us in our brokenness. He came to rescue us. And in order to rescue us, he had to break the curse of sin and death. Jesus, who is God, came in the flesh in order to live a perfect life without sin. He lived according to God's perfect design. And he didn't lay down his life for us. The Creator, rejected by those he created, allowed him to nail him to the cross, where he became the perfect blood sacrifice for all sin. On that cross, God poured out his wrath and punishment for our sin on his Son, Jesus Christ. By his death, he paid in full the price for our sin. And he overcame that 3 days later when he rose from the grave. And Jesus lives in order to offer everyone forgiveness of sin and eternal life. Jesus has the power to give you life, the free gift offered to you by God in love. He's done everything to pay the price for you. And he's offering you life. But will you receive his freedom? Will you acknowledge your rebellion against God and turn to him and ask forgiveness and surrender your life and follow after him? You see, everything in our human nature, everything around us fights against us dying to self and following Jesus. We don't want to. We want to be captain of our own ship. We want to rule our lives. We want to do whatever we want. We want to make our own plans. We want to live and follow Christ by our own terms. As we looked at over the last 2 weeks, the world's system of belief pulls us away from God. The world's worldview and the world with its beliefs and values tempts our sinful flesh to take hold of everything it offers. Sin is personal enemy number one. Satan is public enemy number one. Satan works behind the scenes, orchestrating the system
that distracts us away from God, offering us false hope in the things of this world, or in people, or something else. But here, at the end of verse 8, John gives us another reason for why Jesus came. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Through his death and resurrection, he destroyed the works of Satan. Jesus came to the earth to destroy the penalty of death, the penalty that lies upon us. Listen to what Hebrews 2:14 says about Jesus destroying Satan's work. It says, since therefore the children share in his flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus came down into our broken world to rescue us from sin and death. How awesome is that? Although Satan doesn't want to admit it, although he tries to his best to thwart the plans of God, Jesus already has victory. And so do all those who put their faith in Christ. Satan's power is limited by God. Jesus says in Luke 10:19 that he has given to us all power over all the powers of Satan. He's defeated him. And in the end, Jesus will completely put an end to Satan. The victory is already won, and Jesus won it for us. Therefore, we have victory over the enemy. Here in verse 9 and 10, John turns back to the righteousness of God's children. You see, the evil one, but the world, the false teachers in John's day, and even in our day, they want you to believe that there is a way to be righteous without doing what is right. There's a way to be righteous without doing what is right. They want you to believe that you can follow Jesus and live your life however you want. God's word says no. God's word says that is impossible. That's why he said in verse 9, those who are in Christ cannot keep on living a sinful lifestyle. They cannot live a life of habitual sin. He says here that this is the fruit that reveals who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Those who practice righteousness and those who don't. Your old nature produces sin, but your new nature in Christ leads you to live a holy life. You're empowered by God. Now that doesn't mean that those in Christ will never sin again. Perfection inside of heaven is completely impossible. But it does mean, as they sin from time to time, they will go to God and sincerely repent of their sin and receive his forgiveness and power to overcome their sinful nature and their holiness. That's the pathway God has provided for us, so that we continually overcome our sin by his power and grow in holiness by his power. We learned this back in 1 John. That does mean that you cannot follow Jesus and just live however you want. You cannot just say you're a Christian and live by your own terms. The Bible says it doesn't work that way. God's children are continually made more and more holy as they abide in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord. In other words, if you're in Christ, a child of God, God begins to change you from the moment you surrender your life to him. He changes you from the inside out, one degree of glory to another. Basically, one small step at a time by the power of his Holy Spirit. Christ is doing that in you. The fact is this, Jesus will continually make you more and more holy because in Christ you are a new creation. He says in verse 9, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he's been born of God. In Christ means that God's seed abides in you. In other words, God, the Holy Spirit, now dwells you. He's come to live in you. So it makes everything so different. Before you did not have help, now you have help. God knows that. He knows that you need help. He doesn't leave us alone to try to get through this life in our own strength. It doesn't work. The Holy Spirit indwells you. God's seed abides in you. You are now empowered, and you will begin to grow in holiness as the fruits of the Holy Spirit bear witness that you are now a child of God. Therefore, you cannot continue in habitual sin. If someone doesn't practice righteousness, something is very wrong. In other words, if they have no thought of living a righteous life and seeking after God, something they have a serious problem, a very serious says in verse 8, whoever makes the practice of sinning is of the devil. If you live the same lifestyle you lived before you surrendered your life to Christ, you may be a pretender. A pretender. Someone who may call themselves a Christian, yet they've never truly been born of God. And therefore they live their lives based on their own terms. This is the way I want to follow Christ. This is what makes me feel bad. When Christ returns, you do not want to be a pretender. You definitely don't want to be a pretender. And you don't want to hear these words from Jesus. The most feared words. In Matthew 7, 21 and 23, he says, I never knew you. But we give all these words. We said we believe. I never knew you. You don't want to be a pretender. And John tells us here in verse 7, let no one deceive you. There's a lot of deceivers. There's a lot in this world that wants to deceive you. Paul told the Colossian believers in Colossians 2:8, he said, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human traditions, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to in other words, don't believe those who tell you that sin is not a big deal, or that you should just do whatever makes you happy, or you deserve to have all your desire, or it's okay to dabble a little bit in sin and no one else will know, or you should be tolerant of others, it's okay, or it's okay to look as long as you don't touch. Sin has ruined our lives. Sin is a killer. Why would we want to entertain it or learn to live with it? It sends more than one person to hell every single second, of every single minute, of every single hour, of every single day, of every single year, year after year. You can snap your fingers. Every second. And that represents someone dying without Christ. Sin is a killer. Christ is so much more for you. In Christ, you're no longer a slave to sin. Romans 6:6. God came to rescue you, to rescue us from sin and destroy the works of the devil. He's offering you the free gift of eternal life. Do you want it? Do you want it? Are you ready to turn away from your old life of sin and follow after Jesus? Are you ready to acknowledge your sin before God? Say, yes, I'm a sinner. You might have paid like I bought. Like I used to think, I'm a pretty good person. I've not done anything real bad. I'm better than so-and-so. I'm not a murderer. Sin is anything you think you understand that breaks God's law. So what is this? Are you ready to acknowledge your sin before Him? Ask His forgiveness. Are you ready to believe in Him and surrender your life to Him? God wants your heart. And He stands with open arms, full of love and grace and wholeness of life for you. He wants to redeem what's been lost in your life. He wants to restore all those spiritual blessings. Everything that's been broken in your life, He wants to restore. And He just wants to give you all of His spiritual blessings. He wants to give you abundant life that's full of real peace, everlasting joy, true purpose, daily power. He wants to just offer that to you, to us. And maybe you're already a child of God. And you're here this morning and you've allowed the world and Satan to distract you from following God wholeheartedly, according to His ways. Maybe you believe Satan's lies. And maybe you've given yourself to sinful things that are ruining your life and the lives of those in your family. And maybe you try your best to ignore the conviction of the Spirit that lives within you, and you're running from God. And maybe you're living under God's loving discipline. And life has become very, very difficult for you. Whatever the case, turn away from that. Turn away from it and seek your Heavenly Father this morning. He says, if you sincerely repent of your sin, not just the I'm sorry. But I have sinned against you, God. I mourn over that. I have offended you. I have not walked in your way. If you do that, he says, he will forgive all your sin. It doesn't matter how big you think it is or how small you think it is. God forgives it all. And he says, I will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The list of sins are washed clean. They're taken care of. His mercies are new every single morning. That's why he came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he rose from the grave to defeat sin and death. And he lives. He did this out of love for us. He didn't have to. He would be perfectly justified to let us die for sin. But he came to the earth to rescue us from our sin and the punishment of death. And he's offering you life. For those of you who are children of God, he's offering you continual forgiveness. We need to acknowledge our sin. We need to repent of it and turn to him. And turn to him. As the worship team comes, surrender to God this morning. Allow him to do his work in your heart this morning. Start laying aside all those distractions, all those sinful things that weigh you down and keep you from following God wholeheartedly. Lay your burdens before him and allow Jesus, your advocate, who prays, who intercedes for you from the throne of God, allow him to help you. Make room for God to do what he wants to do in your life. And if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, me and Hannah will be standing up here. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, let today be that day to turn away from your old life of sin and follow after Christ. To receive that free gift and all those spiritual blessings. Eternal life, real joy, peace. Turn to him this morning. Whatever the Lord lays to your heart this morning, respond to him. Don't ignore what he's supposed to do in your life. Make room for God to come in and do whatever he needs to change you, bless you, and